This episode of Ed is brought to you by the Edmonton Community Foundation. They act as a bridge between donors and charities to create a strong, vibrant community for generations to come. You can start an endowment fund yourself or with a group. Once it reaches $10,000, it can start distributing funds. Vital Signs is an annual checkup conducted by the Edmonton Community Foundation in partnership with Edmonton Social Planning Council to measure how the community is doing. The 2022 report focuses on systemic racism in Edmonton. If you'd like to learn more, you can go to ecfoundation.org. That's ecfoundation.org. Welcome, unprofessionals. Don't get on the bus. Do not start the car. Don't go out the front door even, because this is a homeschooled edition of Unprofessional Development. I'm your co-host, Shane Lawrence.
Oh, and I'm Mealy. Hey,
oh,
I'm
yeah.
here too.
Remember?
Okay. Yes, not only is my video sometimes freezing, but so does my brain. And we've got with us L. Cole, co-host of the Cleverly Changing podcast, speaker, advocate. Her resume is too long. It's too long to read, I believe. So we'll just kind of like hit parts of it. And I think when you answer this question, L, that this will kind of maybe help people kind of lay a foundation for who you are and what you're about. So,
Thank you.
And welcome. Thank you. Good to see you. What does education and being an educator mean to you?
Wow, that's a loaded question. But being an educator to me means that you are willing to be open to learning all of your life. Mm-hmm. Like, it is not just about school. It is not just about academics. It's really about the love of learning in general and always being willing to gain new information.
Amen.
And so that's what it means to me.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So
Shane's thinking hard. He's going to go.
Oh,
go ahead,
no, yeah. So this is where like I bumble and just spit out word salad until something semi-coherent comes out. I don't
this
know. I mean, I'm
awesome.
Always fascinated by the whole homeschooling thing too. Right. Cause I mean, this is, you know, one of the reasons why we've got you on today is to talk a little bit about that. So, I mean, how does that intersect for you? I mean, you're saying like being an educator means learning yourself. So, I mean, what kind of things are you learning through this homeschooling process?
So for me, homeschooling wasn't a journey that I just signed up for. It wasn't like I became a mom and said, oh, I really want to homeschool. It turns out that when my daughter went to her second pediatrician's appointment, the pediatrician actually recommended, well, have you ever thought about homeschooling? And I was like, no, never. I've never thought about that. I went to public school and private school growing up. Now, my husband, on the other hand, he was homeschooled through the fourth grade. So it wasn't a new concept for him, but it was completely new to me. And it wasn't something that I wanted to do. However, I was willing to do whatever it took to make sure my children had a good foundation. So let
Amen.
Me just pause right there and explain that. So I am the mother of twins. I have two children, and one of them has a genetic disorder, sickle cell disease. And then when she turned six, we found out that she had type 1 diabetes as well. And
wow.
So that is kind of why the pediatrician recommended that I homeschool her early in life, because her immune system wasn't completely developed and they really wanted her not to have that many infections. And they said, your children are learning well with you, so keep it going for a while. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I'm willing to do what I can to keep my child out of the hospital and as healthy as possible.
Right.
And so even though I was in corporate America, I left and I was working a job that was related to education. And so I left thinking, oh, you know, in a few years, I'll go back to corporate life and continue to work. And I fell in love with educating my kids. I fell in love with seeing how they learn, exploring their learning styles. And really, as I teach my children and as I was learning how to teach them, because as a parent, even if you've been an educator, you also have to kind of relearn everything that you thought you mm-hmm. knew when you're teaching your own kids, because it just doesn't work did in the classroom.
No. I've worked in family businesses before. I've tutored my own children. There is a different filter both for you and for the kids that is not the same as when you're in the classroom setting and go, okay, teacher, kid, we do this, we don't do this. Like sometimes you can get frustrated or they can get frustrated. Not that doesn't happen obviously in the regular classroom, but when it's a relative, that there's definitely a different dynamic that goes on, but both in a good way, I guess, but also sometimes in some challenging ways.
Exactly. I mean, it's an emotional experience.
Yeah.
And it can definitely be very positive. There's, you know, attachment to it. And I think for me, what has kind of made it work throughout the years is everything is done with love. So mm-hmm. behind every action, there's that love. So even if you're frustrated at the end of the day, you're just like, we can wipe the slate clean because I love them and I know they love me. And I think that really just changes the dynamic, because you know that you can start over, you can rethink it, you can stop using the books. There's no one saying you have mm-hmm. to use that curriculum. So if your child is frustrated, you can start something anew and change it. And that's really the beauty of it. And whereas in school, you kind of have pretty much a guideline that you should follow that's highly recommended. Yeah. You can be creative with it, but in homeschooling, you have more freedom and more mm-hmm. flexibility to change things if they're not working for you and your family.
Yeah, well, we had on a guest. I think, Shane, you might have had her back on when you had your own podcast for a while. Well, did you have the unschooling chicken bus lady on your podcast ever, Shane? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I wish I did, because that sounds amazing.
Okay. So this lady, like, she did something called unschooling where the kids really had choice, and they ended up going to like South America and living in like the jungle for a while with some indigenous people. And then like her kid like pursued this other thing where she ended up becoming.
Maybe
like,
I did have her on,
Went to this drama camp and then ended up really pursuing drama and became like this, you know, all these kind of things. There's people put, I think, sometimes homeschooling in this box, and it's really actually a lot more options than regular school. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, and I mean, I'm curious because, I mean, you didn't come at this from a regular, whatever that means, approach. And you mentioned, of course, your one of your kids has the sickle cell disease. Now, I mean, when I hear the word sickle cell, I automatically want to say anemia. So are those two different things? And then what kind of challenges does that create for your child?
So sickle cell anemia is hemoglobin SS, but they've really stopped using the term sickle cell anemia because there are many different types of sickle cell disease. Oh, so generally when people hear sickle cell, they think that it's predominantly a Black disease, but it turns out when you look at the hemoglobin disorders and sickle cell disease as a whole, many different types of people have sickle cell disease. And so the hallmark of the disease is pain crisis, but it can really affect any organ in the body. So it can, with children, one of the risks that is a really predominant risk is stroke. So most children are recommended to have what is called a TCD, which is a transcranial Doppler test, which is just an ultrasound on their brain to see how their blood is flowing.
Well, that's nicer than it was. I thought they were going to have to like drill into their head. Okay. I'm glad they don't have to do that.
They don't. But what happens is they get this test to make sure everything is okay once a year. And sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't, but there's a lot of different things that can happen. And so people can have SS, SD, SC, there's many different types, and also thalassemia. So the first largest population that has sickle cell disease is in Nigeria, Tanzania, countries in Africa. But then the second largest population is in India. And so really wherever people's ancestors were facing malaria, that's where the mutation happened. So people with sickle cell trait are supposed to be it's supposed to be harder for them to get malaria. And so that's really how it manifested.
Okay. Okay.
So what kind of challenges?
That's something I knew. I did not know that. Okay. Yeah. There's a lot more carriers than there are people with it, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
There are millions. There's over 100 million carriers of the disease. So it's actually the most common genetic disorder in the world, which, you know, I talk about it a lot, but a lot of people really don't know about it, even though it is as prevalent as it is. But when two carriers procreate that have the trait, that's when offspring can have sickle cell disease.
Right. There's a 25% chance
with each pregnancy. So I like to throw in each pregnancy because sometimes people think, well, I already have a child with sickle cell disease.
No.
That means I can't have any
Check
more.
That
no,
box.
It's with each pregnancy.
I have friends from church and they have two and both ended up, you know, sadly winning the sickle cell lottery, you know what I mean? And then they're pregnant with a third one. And again, it's still a 25% chance for that one. It's, you're spinning the thing each time. Yeah. If you have four kids, you can have four kids with it, four kids without it. Yeah, that's not, oh, I'm going to give a probability lesson. Okay, Shane. Okay.
Oh, cool. Please don't. So then lots of different things can go wrong, I guess. Lots, it can affect the body in lots of different ways. So, I mean, your pediatrician is looking at your child and saying, okay, you should consider homeschooling. Like, what kind of challenges, like, what's the pediatrician seeing and thinking, like, you know what, public education, maybe not the best environment. So, you know, what kind of challenges are you trying to overcome?
So I think the best example is when the pandemic hit and everyone's talking about increasing hygiene. You know, when we think about schools, kids pass along germs.
It is a nasty place.
Right. And sometimes when children with sickle cell get some of those germs, like meningitis, it can be fatal for them. And so things like COVID can be really hard because they have an immune system that's struggling because sickle cell affects the red blood cells. And we know that we need our red blood cells to carry oxygen throughout our entire body.
Yeah.
So if it's a problem that's stopping the oxygen from getting to different organs, that's when you start to have organ damage, and it can happen anywhere. And so that's really what they're trying to prevent. And the more crisis a person has, the more damage is occurring. So even if a person isn't having a crisis, their body is still struggling. And so when she gave me that advice, it was really to have more flexibility. So one of the things that can happen is the child can be lethargic, you know, fatigue, and may need to rest like at odd times. So you may be in a math class and your child is just struggling to stay awake and they may need to rest. So as a parent, you recognize that and you say, okay, you can take a break. Whereas in school, you can't just have nap time whenever you want. It's just, it doesn't work that way. And so early on, it was helpful because I was able to be more flexible in that area. And it's also sometimes with the risk of stroke and things like that, there can be some cognitive things. But I will say, and I want to make this very clear, some of the most intelligent people I've ever met in my life have sickle cell disease because they are fighters and they are willing and dedicated to do whatever they want to do. And so even though they have those challenges that are medical, they find ways to overcome them. So I wanted to give her a really good early start with that flexibility. And so that's kind of why the pediatrician recommended, so that she wouldn't have as many, be exposed to as many germs. But, and I will say, I actually just put my kids in school. So because after the pandemic, I was like, they have to learn how to navigate life with other people, how to face that adversity. And while, you know, we did lots of activities, co-ops and different things like that, I also knew in high school, my kids are about to go to high school. And
I was going to ask how old they were.
Yeah. So they're 14 now. And I said, I want them to be able to navigate life on their own, And as a caregiver, you're always going to be a caregiver, but you want to learn how to pull back.
Help them develop that independence, right?
Exactly. And so that's really where I am in my journey now.
Yeah. I was telling Shane, and I don't know if anything that they have it where you are, that it's really interesting. So I've got friends who homeschool their kids, and there is a private school near us that allows kids to take one, two, three classes, whatever you want. So like they started their kid off like a year ago, and they were just taking math at the private school, and they were homeschooling for all the rest of the subjects. And then next year they're going to be taking like three classes throughout the course of the year and stuff like that. And I imagine it kind of depends on how urban or you know, remote an area you're in where there might be more options when you stuff like that. So
you're absolutely right.
Yeah, go ahead.
So you are correct. So for us, we did a hybrid situation like that, mm-hmm. where my kids took some classes and they also took virtual classes. We tried it out. But it really depends on your relationship with the school. So, mm-hmm. You know, people different schools, like private schools, are willing to make exceptions, especially after COVID, because a lot of their enrollment was low. So they mm-hmm. were looking for ways to be flexible.
Yeah.
And so I feel like now is really the best time to do a hybrid situation. There are so many more options there than there were several years ago. So it depends, of course, where you live, but those options are available. But you also have to check your state laws. So I'm in the state of Maryland, and mm-hmm. so it was okay for, you have to check your state laws, because sometimes they want the parent to be the primary educator if you're going to be considered homeschool.
Okay.
Because, you know, you may have to keep a homeschool portfolio and different things like
right.
that.
Right, different,
Yeah, but if you're in private school, you may just be under the jurisdiction of that private school. So technically your kid isn't homeschooled anymore. They're really a private school student. And so you have to kind of check your laws. And then there's umbrellas where you sign up under a different agency. And instead of meeting with like your state to say, my child is getting regular instruction this way, you meet with that umbrella, which is, you know, it could be a private school, it can be a church, it can be just an agency that oversees your homeschooling. And so there's multiple ways to do it, but you have to find what best meets your needs and best meets the needs of your children.
Okay. So I think we've touched on some of this already, but I kind of want to like delve into it a little bit. So discuss some of the benefits that you've seen from homeschooling, as well as some of the misconceptions. Cause I think sometimes people think homeschooling and they're like, okay, these people are living in a bunker and they're keeping their kids and they're only teaching them, you know, that the earth is flat and that like, you know, all these other people are evil except for us, you know, it's us four and no more. And all this other kind of like, you know, right wing wackadoodle stuff and stuff like that. And so you both, you know, have like a podcast where you speak to different homeschoolers. I just feel like you have like a broad base to kind of pull from. So give us some people who kind of maybe have a narrow view of homeschooling, like a wider lens of what it is and why people should choose it. Especially people who like, maybe you were kind of like pushed into it. Why would someone go, hey, I would actually choose this like voluntarily, not just to avoid like my kids getting sick or whatever. So go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. So I want to say that homeschoolers in the past used to be synonymous with weird. Uh-huh. And people just were like, oh, those people, they're strange. They look different. They talk different. They act different. And really now you cannot tell the difference between most homeschoolers. You will never be able to look at them and say, oh, those kids were homeschooled. There is definitely more flexibility. You don't have to be weird to homeschool. And even if you are weird, you know, you can embrace that and make it your own. I like to think that my family isn't necessarily weird, but some people may think we are. But for the most part, there are many different ways. You talked about the chicken bus lady, and mm-hmm. there are people who world school. It's mm-hmm. unschool. Yeah. But the real benefit to whatever homeschooling model you choose is to allow your kids to have self-directed learning. And that's what I like to focus on. It's really not about these far-off ideologies. It's more about really just recognizing that learning is a skill that you can develop, and finding ways to tap into what your children's interests are, what your interest is as a family, and how to best cultivate them for life. So yeah. For me, I mentioned, you know, I no longer thought homeschooling was best for my kids, so I transitioned. Yeah. And so I think that's what you can do. You can, you know, give a strong foundation. And often one of the reasons why some people homeschool is because some kids need that one-on-one attention to really learn and learn how to thrive. And many homeschoolers, especially homeschoolers of color, do better academically, like on standardized tests, when they've been homeschooled. And so, you know, I think about my kids, they didn't take a test until very recently when they were in school. And my kids are scoring in the 99th percentile.
Nice.
And they had never taken tests before. But
what? We don't need to give kids 8,000 practice tests to get them ready to take a test?
Oh, no.
Color me shocked, okay?
Yeah, and I think to me, that's the surprising part of it. It's that my kids had a very strong reading foundation. And a lot of those tests, if you are able to comprehend, you're going to do much better.
Yes.
And so my kids started reading very early and started learning how to learn. They begin to teach themselves. Like, I have a daughter who crochets. She crochets things for her classmates now.
Aww.
Which is, it's cute, but I showed her one stitch because that's all I knew. Yeah. But she watched YouTube videos
and
figured out how to crochet all these different things. And my other daughter taught me how to play chess, and she's really great at it. So it's not just you teaching your kids. It's also your kids teaching you. And that's really what I love most about it. And I think that's the benefit. And as a parent, I've actually become a better communicator, because when you're teaching and talking to your children, you have to learn how to listen. That is really the most important lesson in homeschooling, is listening and observing. And so I learned how to do that better by homeschooling. And I feel like my kids are now able to listen to other instructors because they've had a variety. I live in the Maryland area, and they've taken classes at the Smithsonian from scientists. So they got to see people in their field doing the work. Yeah. And so my kids feel like the world is truly their oyster, because they've actually been able to live that throughout their entire academic education.
How are they adjusting then to public education? Because, I mean, what you're describing, like, whenever I talk to homeschoolers, I'm just like, that sounds awesome. Like, that's, I want to have that. Go back in time so I can have an education like that. You know, so it sounds like to put them into public education, it's like just turning all the lights off. Like, everything's gray now. Like, how are your kids adjusting?
So my kids sometimes tell me they want to still be homeschooled. I'm not going to lie about that. They definitely say, Mom, can we go back to it? But what they do love is being able to spend a whole day with their friends. And they love being able to have different types of conversations with people. Really, you know, the opportunity to discuss and debate is just better when you have a whole class. And not that a lot of public school classes are doing that, but they are able to do that in their classes, and they're able to have other adults love on them. And I think my kids really enjoy that.
Yeah. I was gonna say, I've met some homeschoolers that I've had that, like, they're like, oh my goodness, this is the most inefficient thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, this is so slow. I could have learned all this stuff already. And then we just go over here and go over there, and everything takes so long to do. And they can get frustrated by, like, the the lack of, like, the structure is there, but, like, yeah, it just takes.
Yeah, well, I mean, can you imagine going from, like, learning from a scientist at the Smithsonian to, like, being stuck in, you know, Mr. Kaminsky's class, who's, you know, got 2 years to retirement, you know?
Right. Oh. Yeah. Where, like, if you are, and I guess that applies. Some of the kids, they've just gotten numb to it. Like, for lack of a word, the kids who we know that, like, we're supposed to differentiate in our classes, but there's always a class within 30 kids where one kid is like going like basically they could go twice as fast or three times as fast as the class is going, but you can't do that. And they have to sit there and wait while the kid who, even like if you slow it down this, they're still going to be like 5 laps behind. So, but like when you're doing that, you're like, oh my goodness. If you've done the homeschooling, like, really? We're going to like still talking about, yes, we understand. The sun shines on the plant. The plant converts that to energy. Yes, that's how photosynthesis works. Why do these kids not get it yet? We're doing this for 4 days.
Yes. I wanted to say to that, what the teachers for my kids have done is allowed them to read.
Amen.
they've given them different books, like they've recommended different books. And when the class gets, you know, I don't want to use the word boring, but when they're less engaged, they read. They've been allowed to read. So, you know, you have to find ways to make it work. My kids do sometimes get frustrated with their classmates because my kids are excited about learning. And right. They're like, but they keep talking.
Yes. Yeah.
So yeah, been a challenge.
Though I've had the opposite with other homeschoolers that don't realize it can't be just a conversation between me and them for the entire class.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that little, I'm like, okay, yep. I know you're used to like when you're at home, every time, you know, your parent explains something that you can ask something or comment on whatever. I'm like, we got to like spread it around here. So, you know, I've definitely had that experience as well.
Where they dominate. Yes.
Right.
That is sometimes a struggle. Right. I don't know. So one of the reasons why I put my kids in school is because they're a little on the quiet side.
Mm-hmm.
And so they may know the answer, but they're just going to sit there like they're very encouraging to others.
Amen.
So one is a cheerleader, like, oh, they got it. And they're like clapping for them.
Right.
So they're not necessarily, they don't have those dominant personalities yet. And really, I think it's just, you know, the way different people develop, like different personality types.
Amen. Yeah. I was going to say, and I think that's why it's good whether you like do kind of like a hybrid situation or when they're older, you let them go into school or something where they're going to be in large groups, whether it be at your faith-based organization or some clubs or the museum, like you said, where they kind of learn that dynamic of, okay, here's how I behave in a room with more than like 4 people. So I think that's cool. Even like just playing sports. And stuff like
well,
that.
I'm curious though, cause like, you know, we're, you know, basically painting a pretty bleak picture of public education here and a pretty shiny one of homeschooling, which, yeah, it's fine. There's definite pluses to it. But I'm saying, but I'm wondering, like, what are some of the challenges of homeschooling and maybe even some of the perceived disadvantages that you've kind of come across doing this with your own kids?
Absolutely. So I would say right off the bat is often having to pay for like labs and curriculum. So you want to give your kids the best. And I remember my kids were really into engineering at one time. And I said, oh, the Lego Mindstorms, this is really great. I want them to be able to code. And so Lego Mindstorms was like $300 and something.
Mm-hmm.
So homeschooling is not free. Like it's costly.
No.
And so
yeah.
I was like, what I chose to do is my kids would have smaller like birthday parties, smaller gatherings. They really wouldn't get toys, you know, for like Christmas and things like that. I would be buying them different things they needed all year round. And so that allowed me to buy some of the bigger things like Mindstorms for Lego Mindstorms for them. But it can also be like dissecting, like, they have homeschooling conferences where you can go and buy curriculum and buy things, but they happen only certain times a year. And so if you go to one and you don't buy everything you need, it can be hard getting some of the resources. So I would say resources, getting quality resources and being able to sift through them and know that it's a quality resource is important. Because sometimes you can't just take another homeschooler's word for it. It may not work for you and your kids. You kind of have to look through it, test it out, review it on your own. And that's, there's a lot of things out there and not everything is good. And it's, and not everything is something you want for your family. And you have to be able to sift through that. So I feel like that is the biggest challenge, just being over inundated with stuff.
Yeah, I was gonna say it takes up a lot of parents' bandwidth, like overall, whether two of you are trying to do it and share it, as well as the financial burden of dedicating that amount of time to educating your children. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, I interrupted.
No, it's totally fine, because I think we also don't necessarily practice self-care like we're supposed to. And we have to learn how to do that. And it took me, I would say my kids were in around sixth grade before I found a rhythm of how to also care for myself. It took many years, because really you're doing so much giving. And as a parent, you're already giving. But then when you're homeschooling, it's like your downtime, you're trying to, you know, maybe reteach yourself things. Like I would spend time on YouTube trying to relearn things so that I can explain it. And then I would try it out on my husband first. And I think he got annoyed, you know, like, also like the spousal, you know, interaction. So if you, not everybody is married who homeschools, but for, you know, that's been my experience where I was really treating my husband like he was coming to a parent-teacher conference, and it just made for a weird dynamic. And I had to learn how to pull back and just, you know, be a wife and not also, you know, and wear the principal hat too. Yeah. Like, it was just weird. And that didn't work for me, but it may work for other people. So if that works for you and you are listening, great. My husband didn't want me to flip through our portfolio. The kids learned this today. It's just... It didn't work for us.
I can just see this scene where he like walks in and you're giving him the side eye and glaring at him. And he's like, what? And you're like, your kids these days, you know, my students were just horrible. What are you doing with these children?
Yes. You're going to have to do some tutoring here, Dad, because Sally ain't getting this.
How do you cope with that? I mean, like when I have a bad day with my kids, I get to leave that in the building. I go home and I'm like, I'm home. Like, how does that work when your kids, I mean, maybe your kids are perfect and you never have any conflict. okay, this is where we need the video. I see the nice big eye roll that just happened. But I mean, how do you cope with that when you have a rough day with your kids? I mean, you can't send the principal's office, and when you're done your education or school day, it's like you're still in the same building.
So you know, every parent knows no person is perfect. You're not perfect as a parent, and your children aren't perfect as kids. And for me, what I learned to do to make it work is we would maybe have a video day where I would let my kids do other things. Like now there's just so many different resources. So we had different recyclable items that they could really just gather and make something and create something. It would be a free day, but free in terms of they get to explore different things. So we had, I believe in learning through play. So they could play games that were also educational, like had some educational values. And most games, you can find a way to teach and also let them play. So that's what I did. Like Scrabble, board games, Monopoly, you know, Monopoly is a really long game, but kids are learning.
Terribly long.
It's terribly long. But there are ways to kind of pull back. And I really gave my kids the freedom to explore when I was, because you're bound to have a bad day sometimes. And, you know, sometimes like your family comes to visit. And then when you're homeschooling, people don't really understand that it's a work day for you. So they'll just pop up, pop over, like, oh, you're not doing anything. Like, there's that misconception that all day is free time. And so occasionally we had people just pop up and pop over. And so those were always the most challenging times.
Yeah, like, you're like, my neighbor, and there's no actual school tomorrow. I've got to go to work. I can have my 7-year-old at your house all day. That should not be a problem. You stay home all day, right? They'll just hang out with you, right?
Right.
That didn't happen zero times to you, I'm guessing, right?
Too many times to count.
So, I mean, now, I mean, I know you got your podcast now, but I mean, what are you doing now that your kids are in public school? What do you do?
So I actually, I just started working again. I do have my own business. So I'm an entrepreneur. I'm an advocate. So a professional advocate. I sit on a lot of boards, hospital boards, and I'm really trying to make sure that the future is better and that other people like my husband and I who didn't know we had sickle cell trait are educated. So really that's what I have dedicated my time to. I also write books. I've written and published 8 books. And I travel, I speak, I teach. I don't teach my kids anymore, but I work with nonprofits to often teach their members and other people different lessons I've learned, whether it's about social media and marketing to other lessons that I've really honed in on, even homeschooling. I also, I mentioned that I went back to work. I work for a nonprofit now doing marketing. That's what I found out I loved. Mm-hmm. And I was able to work and also do my passion. So I work for a sickle cell nonprofit and I'm able to do what I love and get paid for it, which is
awesome. That is awesome. That is awesome. So there's people who are listening to this who obviously like podcasts, right? You know what I mean? Or possibly there's some people occasionally, I think some of our numbers, Shane, that there is people violating the Geneva Convention. And I see that we're getting some downloads in Russia. So I assume that they are like taking some of the Ukrainian prisoners and forcing them to listen to unprofessional development all day. And I don't know if that's a
Where
good thing or a bad
this
thing. I
mean,
obviously it's good for us. But anyway. But most of the people listening to this podcast are voluntarily listening to podcasts because they like podcasts. So sorry, Ukrainian prisoners, we stand with you. But
I have no idea what to do. How am I going to edit this? Like, I don't even like. Oh.
So I didn't know I was going there when I started. By the way,
really,
I had no idea.
Really,
I just ended up there.
Oh,
but anyway,
my gosh.
Give us the elevator pitch for your podcast so that some of our podcast listeners will be your podcast listeners. That's where I really wanted to go.
And will it appeal to the torturing
of prisoners by forcing them to listen to unprofessional development episodes.
Sure. So one of my passions is homeschooling. So my podcast is the Cleverly Changing Podcast, because the only thing about parenting that stays the same is that it's going to constantly change. And so what better way to live life than to be clever when you're doing those changes? And so if you want to learn how to be a person who educates your kids, not just homeschool, but you really have to supplement your child's education too if you want them to be well-rounded. And so that's what we talk about. We talk about the history of the world. I was a history major in school. And so I love really unraveling those facts and kind of putting them where we are today in the current events and figuring things out. So join us to figure things out as we try to be the best parents that we can, even though we make some hard decisions sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's hard at times, but we're doing it together and learning from each other. So the Cleverly Changing Podcast is on all podcast platforms, and we're just sharing what we love. I also have another podcast where I talk about sickle cell, and that is the Vitamin SC3 podcast.
Oh, wow.
So if you're interested in learning about genetics and all the things that go into that, I think it's really a fascinating conversation because we talk to doctors. There's four different hosts. Two are caregivers, and two are doctors. So, and two are patients. So even though it's four, you have so many different perspectives. And so I definitely invite you to listen to the Vitamin SC3 podcast as well.
Okay.
All right. Well, the way we like to wrap up our podcast is always with a funny story. So from the world of education. So, you know, whatever it is that you've experienced with your kids, I mean, it's going to be different this time because you're a homeschooler. I'm excited to hear this, but a funny story from your life as an educator with your kids.
Okay. So I want to share a story from this week.
Cool.
And it's really hilarious because we homeschooled our kids for 7 years. My kids are in school this year, and the teacher sent out a Google Doc from preschool all the way through eighth grade for them to put the photos. And as homeschoolers, you're documenting everything. So my husband put photos of my kids in every single folder.
Nice.
And the teacher, and so another kid found it, and they were teasing my kids because, you know, dads pictures. Don't always pick the best photos.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And so my kids thought it was me because I was the primary homeschool parent.
Yes.
So she's texting, she sent me a message and she's like, "Mom, what is this?" And I didn't know what she was talking about. And so when I pick her up from school, she's like, "Why are we in every single photo?" You know,
right.
She's like, the whole slideshow is just going to be us. And so I thought it was hilarious because homeschool parents, like, they're going to document. And they had ties for every single thing. And then he was like, "Oh, I didn't put you guys in the basketball folder. Should I put you?" And they were like,
"Oh,
no.
My goodness. Yes, please stop that."
That way. So I thought it was pretty hilarious.
That's good stuff.
It was my husband embarrassing my kids. But the truth is, I thought it was sweet because that meant that he's been keeping and cherishing all of our homeschool photos.
It is.
So it was a warm, fuzzy moment for me, but my kids were super embarrassed. Oh.
Yeah, this is, I've heard of social suicide. That's social homicide.
Yes, there we go. Okay. Alrighty. Well, obviously, guys, we've had a blast here. We've got two new podcasts you can listen to. You can go to the websites. You can do all this kind of stuff, read some books. They'll all be there in the show notes. And we really, really appreciate you coming on and spending some time with us. It's been a blast, and so we hope you've enjoyed yourself as well. And as we always say at the end, stay unprofessional.
Hey, Mealy, you feeling warm today? You got good heating in your house?
It's all right. It could be a little cooler. I mean, my podcast studio, the rest of the house is warm, but the podcast studio is a little chilly. So,
okay. So
that's why I got my thermal on today.
Oh, well, you know, it's funny you should be mentioning, you know, heating and that kind of thing, because our episode is actually brought to our listeners by Park Power. And they're
Park
the
Power.
That's right. They're a friendly yokel. They're a friendly local utility provider in Alberta. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. And I mean, if you are warm, but you're like, you know, my life could still be better, they also do internet and electricity as well.
Oh, cool. So internet, electricity, heating and air.
That's right.
Yes. Gas? Can I get gas from them or no?
Absolutely. Like, you mean like for your car?
No, like for like natural gas.
Yes, natural gas.
To run my furnace.
Absolutely.
To heat my water.
Yes. They got low rates apparently and awesome service.
Low rates and awesome service.
Okay. And I mean, and I know that you care about other people, so it'll probably, you know, work for you that they also profit share with local charities.
Well, that is really fantastic. They're giving back. Okay.
That's right. That's pretty cool. Right.
That is good.
Yeah. And on top of this,
are they located in a park, or is the founder named Mr. Park, or we don't know or care?
The founder is named Chris Kozowski.
Oh.
I've never met him, but apparently you can spot him because he always wears a bow tie.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, yeah. He's a classy fella. And he actually is located in Sherwood Park, which is not far from where I live.
That makes sense. So that's where the park comes from.
Indeed.
Our listeners have been are curious about etymology.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ecology and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. And I mean, I know that like you and me, because we're doing the podcasting thing, we're just rolling in money, but
yes.
The fact is there's actually people out there who want to save money, right?
I mean, yes.
Yeah,
I mean,
they want to pay less.
The company that I use here for my power, I just send in like an extra $10 every time and say, hey, you know, just buy donuts for the gals in the office.
You never buy me donuts, gee. Okay, well, look, here's the deal. Like in Alberta, I don't know what it's like in North Carolina, but in Alberta, you can actually choose who you get your internet and your electricity and your natural gas from. It's not like just some big, like, you know, state conglomerate that's like, this is how
we have choice.
You have choice. Cool. Well, Park Power is one of those choices. And they offer.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think so. That's fantastic.
Well, tell them, come on down to North Carolina. We could use some choices down here. Have Mr.
Kozowski.
Bowtie.
Yeah. Yes. Has Mr. Bowtie.
Give me a call.
All right. Well, hey, Mealy, if you decide to switch, and I mean, part of this is you'll probably have to come to Alberta, but you know, it's inevitable. You're already part of the Alberta Podcast Network. You're going to be coming to Alberta.
And I love Park Power, so I'm halfway there.
Absolutely. Well, if you want to switch, all you have to do is you just go to parkpower.ca.
Okay. Oh, .ca. Cool.
That's right. Because it's Canadian, right?
It is. .ca. Yeah.
There you go. Parkpower.ca.
.ca. That's simple and easy. Okay, cool. Thanks.